Pride acknowledged that he was a king, that he was the king of the Jews, but he was also the king of a new kingdom, of a spiritual kingdom, that his kingdom was not of this world. We've been reading in Ezekiel about the prophecies of this king that was to come, this son of David who would restore God's Davidic kingdom in this new Israel. And we also read this morning about this new prince and how this prince would have a role in worship and sacrifice of his people. Throughout the prophets, God is giving the people glimpses of the new kingdom, of the new Israel, of the new covenant, and preparing God's people and preparing the people of the world for the fact that this Son of God, the Son of David, was to be the Son of God, and that he was going to be the king of a new Israel, but that he was also going to be the high priest of an entirely new covenant, that this king would also be high priest. In the book of Hebrews, the Spirit reveals a lot of detail about how this can be. In chapters 4 and 5, this idea is first introduced, and he's answering objections that might be raised to this by Jewish people. How can this be that this man Jesus can both be our king and our high priest? We all know as Jews that kings are from the tribe of Judah, and priests are from the tribe of Levi. How could he be both? Hebrews chapter 7 through chapter 9 answers those objections and explains how it's possible that Jesus can be our king and our priest. And the first thing the Spirit reveals to us about this is that we have to understand the nature of the old covenant and the new. In chapter 8, verses 5 through 6, the Spirit explains to the Jewish people the nature of their covenant, of their temple, of their priesthood, of their sacrifices. It says that they, those things, they serve a copy and shadow of the heavenly things. For when Moses was about to erect the tent, he was instructed by God, saying, "See that you make everything according to the pattern that was shown you on the mountain. But as it is, Christ has obtained a ministry that is much more excellent than the old, as the covenant he mediates is better, since it is enacted on better promises." The old law and its temple and its priesthood and its sacrifices were just copies of and shadows of a greater heavenly reality. Colossians 2:17 tells us the same thing, that all these things were just a shadow, but the substance belongs to Christ. And the substance that belongs to Christ, the glory of the heavenly realm, the glory of the heavenly kingdom, is different, and it's superior, and it's better than the old covenant with its temple and priesthood and sacrifices. Jesus is a better priest because he has a better lineage, these chapters explain. You know, you have such concern about who the ancestors of your priests are and making sure their fathers are the right person. And he explains to them in chapter 7, verses 15 and 16, that Jesus isn't like one of these priests that's descended from Levi or from Zadok or from any other person through his lineage. He says this becomes even more evident when another priest arises in the likeness of Melchizedek, who has become a priest not on the basis of a legal requirement concerning bodily descent, but by the power of an indestructible life. And so Jesus is declared to be a priest of a different order, of the order of Melchizedek, who had no lineage, who had no beginning and no end, because Jesus is a priest who is priest by the power of an indestructible life, because he is the I Am. He has no beginning and no end. And so he was before the priests that you serve ever were. He is a greater priest because he has a better lineage. And he's a better priest, according to chapter 7, verses 26 through 28 because he's just a better person than those priests that you had. Chapter 7, 26, "For it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. He has no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily, first for his own sins, and then for those of the people, since he did this once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints men in their weakness as high priests, but the word of the oath, which came later than the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever." Jesus was a better priest because he had a better lineage. He was a better person. He had been given an oath that was better, that he would be a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. And he's the priest of a better covenant with better promises, as we just read, the promise of eternal life with God. And Jesus is better because he entered into a better holy place than the high priests did under the old covenant. Chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. "Now the point in what we are saying is this. We have such a high priest, one who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister in the holy places, in the true tent that the Lord set up, not man." Jesus wasn't the high priest of some physical holy place that is just a pattern, that is just a copy of heaven. He entered into heaven itself, where he ministers for us from the true holy place. And he offered a better sacrifice. Chapter 9, verses 11 through 14. "But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" So we gather this morning around the table of our King Jesus, united under his lordship, as he is king over God's new Israel and restored Israel. But we also gathered because we're saved by him, saved from our sins, because our King Jesus is also our high priest and the priest of a new and better covenant. So I'll leave off with Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. "Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need."